I think your mom tried to call. So I'm totally serious. I saw Pat Tango. Not that she doesn't know where we are. Okay. Let's be serious, people. Jeez. All right. Well, I am Pastor Sarah Friesman-Carper, as Pastor Andrew said. I am assistant to the Bishop for Congregational and Leadership Excellence in Northwest Lower Michigan Synod of the ELCA. And so I want to bring you greetings from our Bishop Craig Satterley and from my colleagues, Pastor David Sprang and Pastor Chris Ann Tim, from the other 112 congregations around our synod. Our synod is all of the Lower Peninsula except this part right here. All right, so that's us, 112 congregations over here. And I also want to thank you, especially today and again, for the space that you loaned to us for my office down on the garden level. It continues to be a lovely space, and I really enjoy working there. And it's so great to be able to, like, text my husband, Andrew, and say, hey, can we talk? Can you come downstairs? Or I'm making a pot of tea. You want to come have some tea with me? So, anyway, it's pretty wonderful. So when I was a little girl, about 5 or 6 years old, about the age of my talkative son, my Mennonite church at the time, I grew up Mennonite when I was very young, gifted me with a Bible. And it was a Good News Translation Bible. Some of you remember that with fondness. It had those funky little people drawn inside that were basically just lines. And it was meant to be, you know, easily understood for people. So Good News Bible. And the cover of it had a picture that has really stayed with me my whole life. It was a little cheesy, honestly, now that I think about it, because there's this very Caucasian-looking guy who's supposed to be from the Middle East, but we just overlook that part. All right, so there's a man, and he is in amongst these rocks, and the sky is this dark, kind of bluish-grayish, ominous, cloud-covered thing, and there's these rocks everywhere and a little bit of vegetation, and in the front there's a little lamb, and it's gotten its leg stuck in a crack of the rocks, and there's this man reaching out to the lamb. And I think, I'm pretty sure, that this man is supposed to represent God, and that God has left all the rest of the flock behind in search for this one little lamb. And God has gone looking for this little lamb. And so there on the front of the cover is God reaching out for this little lamb. And ever since I was a little girl, I knew that I was that little lamb. And that no matter how far I've been scattered, no matter what poor decisions I've made, no matter what I've done, God would always come looking for me. No matter how stuck my hoof was in those rocks, God was always going to come looking for me. And I've also known, because I had a strong religious upbringing in an outward-looking community, I've also known from a young age that I'm not the only little lamb that God goes searching for. That little lamb on the cover of my Bible is imprinted with the image of every single one of us created by God. God goes in search of every one of us. No matter how far afield we've been scattered, no matter how stuck we are, no matter how ominous the clouds, dark the sky, no matter how thick that darkness, God always, always goes searching, and always, always finds God's own sheep. Now, the Bible talks about sheep somewhere between 220 and 250 times. People who count these things don't necessarily agree. But it talks about sheep a lot. That's a lot. And shepherding is an important theme throughout all of Scripture. Now, shepherding was a huge part of the economy for hundreds of years. Even Jacob, who was the father of Israel, was a shepherd. And in Hebrew Scriptures, which is the Old Testament, sheep were used for milk, they were used for wool, meat, their skins were used for clothing and for tent walls, and their horns were used for musical instruments or to hold oil. I mean, sheep were really important. Now, of course, when you talk about sheep, it's hard to not remember the 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me into, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In other words, God is our great shepherd. We are the sheep. God is caring for us, tending to our needs, to our eating needs and our drinking needs and our rest needs. David also is a shepherd. We heard about him again in Ezekiel today. David was the youngest of a whole slew of brothers. He was the keeper of the sheep in the family. And he grows up to be the greatest king that the United Kingdom of Israel ever knew. And in fact, it's from his lineage that Jesus himself is born, right? So shepherds, they hold a really important place in the story of God's people. Now, in John's gospel, Jesus proclaims, "I am the good shepherd," building on all of that lineage from all of the Old Testament. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, our reading in Ezekiel this morning shows a loving God who goes looking for the sheep even when they have wandered off or been scattered. And Matthew's gospel picks up on that theme in the 18th chapter when Jesus tells his disciples, He says this to them, "What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the other 99 on the mountains and go in search of that one who went astray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray." So again, Matthew is picking up on this whole long lineage of shepherd and sheep stories, talking about how Jesus goes after the lost ones. All right, are you feeling good now? Are you feeling like, yes, no matter what, God will come after me, God loves me? Good, I'm glad, because that was the end of the nice feeling part of the sermon. All right, because here we are. We have to deal with this text that we have from Matthew this morning. Later on, we're down toward the end of the book here. This is just before Jesus is going to be arrested and denied and betrayed and hung on the cross. This is where things get really serious and urgent for Jesus. Now, we've heard readings. If you've been in worship the last few weeks, you know that we've heard readings that have kind of come in a row. And all of them, whenever I've read them, we end all of our gospel readings with the gospel of the Lord, and you say, you know, thanks be to God, or praise to you, O Christ, whatever it is you say. So these last few weeks, though, I've always wanted to end them with the gospel of the Lord, ? Because they're just not very good newsy. Gospel means good news, right? So these stories have not been very uplifting. They've not been real good news kinds of stories. Today is the same, because today this story ends with the ones who neglect the least of these are not given a second chance. They are not afforded the grace that we're used to from Jesus. They are thrown into eternal punishment, right? Youch. That doesn't sound like the kind of Jesus who goes after the lost. That doesn't sound like God who leads sheep into green pastures or lays down his life for his flock. I'd rather kind of throw out these harsh parts of worship, of Scripture, and focus on the nice ones. But that is not true to our faith. And it's not true to our God either. Without parables like this one from Matthew, we might forget that faith is not all puppy dogs and unicorns all the time. Or to put it in slightly more biblical language, it's not all little lambs and rainbows all the time. And neither is the world a place of all happiness and goodwill all the time. You may have noticed there are goats in the world. You may have noticed that there are those who ignore the sick and the imprisoned and the hungry and the thirsty and the et cetera, and so forth. And you may have noticed that each of us has engaged in goat-like behavior in our lifetimes. Each of us have ignored the hungry. We have not always fed the hungry. We have not always given something to drink to the thirsty. There are naked people that we have not clothed. There are strangers whom we have not welcomed. There are sick and imprisoned people whom we have not visited and cared for. And before you start thinking in your mind, yeah, but, let me stop you there. Because this text, it's not only about separating out individual people who have been more goat-like and more sheep-like. There's not like some cosmic weight there you stand on to say, I'm more of a sheep or more of a goat. Did you notice in this text that this is as much about the nations, the peoples? They are the ones that God is judging. So I imagine on Judgment Day, here's God on the mountain of Israel, and before God is, you know, Paris and Beijing and Oslo and Sydney and Berlin and Johannesburg and Athens and Washington, D.C. And there is God judging the nations. Is there any nation that stands a chance? Show me a nation whose national priority is feeding the hungry, or giving something to drink to the thirsty, or clothing the naked, or welcoming the stranger, or visiting the sick and the prisoner. Not to mention, show me a nation whose national priority is protecting the innocent from sexual predators and creating systems of justice for people of color and women and other oppressed groups, and removing weapons of destruction from the hands of the general population, or providing equal and health care to all its citizens and visitors. By nature of being living where we live, we are guilty. Our nation is guilty. We are guilty. We are goats, my friends. We are goats. Each of us and all of us together. The world is not a place of all happiness and goodwill. And our faith has to grapple with the ominous gray clouds and the thick darkness. Because God did. God, in Christ Jesus, came to earth in human form to grapple with the forces that defy God, to use language from our baptismal liturgy. He came specifically because our faith is not all sweet little lambs and bright colored rainbows. He came and sat with people that no one else would sit with. He came and offered a healing touch to no one else, to people no one else would touch. He came and welcomed the people that no one else would welcome. He came and fed the people no one else would feed. He held the political and religious authorities of the time accountable for the ways that they valued profit over people. He faced his enemies and the thick darkness of this world in his crucifixion. Jesus entered the place of the dead to liberate the souls trapped there. And he rose from the dead to free the world from the power of sin, the forces that defy God, and all that separates us from the love of God. in Christ Jesus. In other words, the grace, the love, the mercy that we receive from God is not cheap. It came at the price of God's own life, Jesus' own life. So today is called Christ the King Sunday. Today we sometimes call it the Reign of Christ Sunday, and it's appropriate for us to ask, what kind of king is Christ? And what exactly does his reign look like? Our king is a crucified and risen king. He's a king who has lived and died and lives again. He's a king who lives with and cares for the least of these. King Jesus is the one who searches for the lost. King Jesus has mercy on the wicked and forgives sins 70 times 7. That's also in the Gospel of Matthew. And in his reign, the lost are found. God's promises are fulfilled. The least are made the greatest. And I think that in the reign of King Jesus, even the goats are made into sheep. Think about this for a minute. Even those who have been scattered so far afield to overlook the least of these, well, aren't they in fact the least of these? Aren't they in fact the ones who need the love and the forgiveness of Christ the most? Isn't it when we ignore the cries of the hungry and the thirsty and the stranger and the naked and the sick and imprisoned, isn't that when we are most in need of God's mercy? Isn't it when our nation makes choices that draw us from God and defy the will of God, isn't that when we most need God's love and justice? And doesn't God promise to go after the lost, every one of them, no matter how far, no matter how stuck, no matter how ominous the sky or thick the darkness? In other words, when we neglect the sick, the imprisoned, when we ignore the cries of the hungry and the thirsty and the naked, when we keep out or disregard the stranger, it is then that we have strayed the farthest outside the reign of God. And it's his reign of justice and peace. Christ, our King, died for sheep and goats. Living in his reign means we're called to be about the business of the kingdom, clothing and feeding and welcoming and visiting and caring in all of the many various ways that that happens in the 21st century. And when we fail, because we will, Christ, our King, gets his shepherd's crook and comes looking for us, bringing us home to his fold. Christ our King died for sheep and even for we goats. Thanks be to God. Amen.